unexpected events. Unexpected events do occur. You can count on it. Grandma said it. Grandma said to save for a visual aid. It's going to rain. Money Magazine says 78% of you will have a major negative financial event in any given 10-year period of time. That means 8 out of 10 of you in here, if I count 10 families, are going to have something come along and punch you to the tune of $5,000, somewhere in that range, and hit you with an unexpected event, and you have to be ready. Emergencies are going to happen. They're unexpected. Count on it. Well, Dave, you need to be positive. I'm positive. Emergencies are going to happen. You can count on it. And you've got to be ready for the emergencies. There's no way around it. We had one lady going through Financial Peace University years ago. She sat down. She told us, she said, my grandmother always had the GOK fund. And the GOK fund, one time when I needed braces, put braces on me. And the GOK fund, one time when Grandpa had a car wreck, we fixed the car with it. And the GOK fund, once when there was a sick neighbor, we paid for the sick neighbor's bills. And the GOK fund was always there. The God only knows fund. The emergency fund. It's really has to be there. You have to think about this. And yet, when we look at the statistics, 32% of the people in America today could not cover a $5,000 emergency. That's a third of Americans aren't ready. And so here's the deal. Unexpected events aren't really unexpected. So they're not really unexpected events, are they? Let's try it this way. Everybody take your fist like this and put it right up in front of your face, kind of like this, okay? And then take your hand and place it across the back of your wrist and curl your fingers around until you find your pulse with your fingertips. Is your heart beating? Good, then we don't have to haul you out. If your heart is beating, unexpected events are going to occur. Get ready. You're not exempt. You are in the human race. There's a chance it's going to happen just for you. Now, remember, baby step one is $1,000 in the bank. We're going to set aside $1,000 really, really quickly. The hardest baby step, the easiest baby step. And then when we go fully into the emergency fund, we're going to call it baby step three. And you notice we skipped a step. We'll come back and fill that in later. But these two both have to do with the emergency fund, so I want to make sure they're covered in this lesson. Here's what some folks had to say about baby step three.
We're working on the 3 to 6 months of savings.
We've almost got 4.5 months saved up. So the wheel started turning faster once we got rid of all the debt. Now we've got our emergency fund almost funded.
We have more than 6 months savings in our emergency fund.
I now have 6 months of an emergency fund on hand. It felt wonderful to have a fully funded emergency fund. The security in that is amazing.
Baby step three, have a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months of expenses set aside. Now, I recommend you put that in a good money market account. A money market account you can get with a good mutual fund company. It doesn't pay a lot. It's going to pay kind of like CD type rates. Whatever CD rates are, over about 6 months, you can have this on a money market account. The good news here is there's no penalty for taking the money out if you have an emergency. You can just write a check against that money market account. So it's where I park my personal emergency fund or where I park short-term savings for stuff I'm saving for less than 5 years. So if I'm saving up for other things that we'll talk about in a few minutes, I also use a money market account for that. Now, what you've got to remember, the mistake people make about the emergency fund is they think, this is like $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. 3 to 6 months of expenses is a lot of money. You start talking about having $15,000 sitting there in a money market account, people are saying, well, that doesn't give me much of a rate of return. I could do a BBD. I could do a bigger, better deal. Dave, I've got something I can do with that money. That's a lot of money. And that's not what it's for. Your emergency fund is not an investment. Say, not an investment.
Not an investment.
Your emergency fund is insurance. Say, insurance.
Insurance.
Now here's the deal with insurance. Insurance doesn't make you money, does it? Say no.
No.
Insurance costs you money, and it costs you money to protect your assets, to protect your investments. And so by investing money at a low rate of return, or parking money, really, in a money market at a low rate of return, you're not making much money on your money. So it's kind of costing you money. like insurance does, but it's there to protect you. So you don't have to cash out your 401k if the transmission goes out. You don't have a problem if you get laid off and have to pay the house payment a little bit. You go, you got issues that are going to happen when life comes along and there's a $5,000, an $8,000, a $12,000 gotcha, then all of a sudden you're not trying to cash out investments because it's got, you've got protection for the investments with this. The trick with this is don't touch it. Do not touch it. This is not a leather couch fund. This is not a I want to go to the Bahamas fishing fund. This is not a oh honey, I found a bass boat fund. This is an emergency fund. You do not touch it. And once you get that in place, it will cause you to relax. It'll give you a sense of peace, a sense of destiny with your money. It is a huge emotional step in your financial process. Never, never, never miss this. I remember I was doing a book signing a while back, and this lady came, and she came in the book signing, and it was in the summertime, it was in August, and she was just, well, she was sweaty. It was a lady. She had perspired, okay? But she came up, and she's like, I'm so mad. She said, I'm so mad. I was coming over here to get my stupid book signed by you, and the whole rear end just went out of the truck. And she said, I've been doing this stuff. I've been in Financial Peace University. I saved up $12,000, and the truck is sitting out there on the street. I'm just so mad. I said, why are you mad? I said, how much is it going to take to fix the rear end of the truck? She said, oh, it'd probably be over $1,000. I said, you have $12,000. What are you mad about? She went, well, I guess that's true. Because she was just like me. Her whole life before that, every time the car broke, we had a car crisis and a financial crisis. And so our emotions are trained to where when the car breaks, we just go into orbit. Because it's not only an inconvenience with the car, there's also going to be a financial whammy here. And she had never stopped and thought, I've got $12,000, I can just fix the car. And the weird thing is, when you get an emergency fund, you'll quit having emergencies. Have you ever noticed that when you're broke, your life looks like a country song? You know what I'm talking about? Everything that can go wrong will. Murphy shows up. You know who Murphy is? The guy, if it can go wrong, it will. I am convinced that when you have an emergency fund, it is Murphy repellent. That Murphy that comes up, knocks on the door, and he says, I got an emergency fund, $12,000. She goes, okay, I'll go see your neighbor. You know, you can chase a black cat when you've got an emergency fund. Come here, come here. It is amazing to me how this works, that Sharon and I, we got that emergency fund in place, and with what we've been through, going broke and losing everything, I mean, honey, we got an emergency fund for the emergency fund. We're like conservative, right? We just don't want to even go near those kinds of pain ever again. There's no chance. So we got this huge pot. And once we got that, we don't even use the emergency fund for emergencies. Something comes up, we just kind of work it out. But we don't have big emergencies like we used to. Because everything was a crisis when we had absolutely no dollars. And when you put some pad between you and life, life will leave you alone a little bit in the negative ways anyway. The emergency fund is your first savings priority. Do it quickly. Do that $1,000. Then do baby step two when we cover that in the debt lesson. And then step up there and finish this emergency fund, fully funded, 3 to 6 months of expenses. The second thing we teach you to save money for is for purchases. Instead of borrowing to buy something, pay cash by using the sinking fund approach. For instance, let's say you had a $4,000 dining room set and you went down to Rooms There They Went. And they would have, if you went to the local furniture store, right, and you went down there, there's a $4,000 dining room set, they would have 90 days same as right? And you could go in there and you could finance it. Well, here's the trick. A buddy of mine in the finance business told me the other day that 88% of the 90 days same as cash contracts, that's 9 out of 10, do not pay off in 90 days. And when they don't pay off in 90 days, or even if you pay a little payment you're supposed to pay through there and you don't pay it on time, they'll still tag you and they backcharge you through the whole thing with the interest, and then you get to pay payments for the rest of your dad blame life at 24 or 38% interest is the way this deal works. And they kick you in the tail. So this means that you're going to have borrowed at 24% interest. You'd have payments of $211 a month, as an example, for 24 months. And so you'd end up paying $5,064 for a $4,000 dining room set. Here's an idea. Here's an old-fashioned thought, the way your grandmother would think or your great-grandmother would think about money. Here's an idea. Here's what a sinking fund is. It's a commercial real estate term. If you buy a commercial real estate building and it's got a 20-year roof on it, you know that in 20 years you got to buy a roof, so every year you set aside out of your income 1/20th of the roof. So when the roof, which is a big hairy deal on a big building, comes up, you've got the money to put the roof on it. It's not a surprise. That's a sinking fund. And that's all we're doing here. We're just going to save money and earn a little bit of interest on our money rather than paying someone else payments and being stuck in a rut. And so what if you saved $211 a month? You did this for 18 months. You could pay cash. Now, some of you are quick with a calculator or quick with your math, or you'll go back later and run the numbers. You go, now, wait a minute. 18 times 211 is not 4,000. You're right, it's not. 18 times 211 is actually only $3,798, $3,800. But you know what I've discovered? Did you know that 90 days is not the same as cash? That if you have 38 Uncle Benjamin Franklins, that you could probably walk into a furniture store and get a deal, couldn't you? Do you think you could buy a $4,000 dining room set for $3,800 doing that? You'll get special attention if you just walk around and do this right here. Because they just don't, the kid, you go up to ring it up and the kid will go like, whoa, dude, this one's got like real money. You know? And so it's a cool process. You can get deals like this, and we're going to talk about that in the bargain lesson, so don't miss it. So 90 days is not the same as cash. Now, do all furniture stores always discount when you do that? Well, absolutely not. Do I leave with my money if they don't? Absolutely. Because I'm going to save up and pay for it. And you know, you start paying for furniture that way, you're going, I'm not sure I like the furniture. I kind of like this. I'm just going to go home. You know what I'm saying? Or let's think about a car, for example. Let's kind of look at that. Because everybody's saying, ooh, car payments. You always got to have a car payment. That's the thing that goes around all the time. We'll talk about that in detail in the debt lesson. But what if you had a $4,600 car? You could save for a $4,600 car, and you could do that by putting $464, which, by the way, is the average car payment in North America today, according to USA Today. If you put $464 just in the cookie jar for 10 months, not even a whole year, and then you could buy a car. Well, now, Dave, $4,600 won't buy much of a car. It'll buy a car without payments, and it will do it in 10 months. And did you know I can drive out of state highway that way about 20 miles, or I can drive out of state highway about that way about 20 miles, and you could too, and I can buy me a 10-year-old Honda Accord that is a very, very nice automobile for $4,600. I could do the same thing with a nice Ford Taurus and probably buy it for even less than that. And that's a great car to get me back and forth to work for 10 more months while I do it again. And do it for 10 more months. And now I'm driving a $15,000 car 30 months in, paid for. This is called saving up and paying for things. It's a novel idea. It's kind of sweeping the nation. It's different. You know, think it through. Think it through. It'll come to you. Now, the other area is wealth building. Now, when it comes to wealth building, we're going to do that. We're going to cover that in detail in the Of Mice and Mutual Funds lesson, where we go into the investment types. And we're also, from fruition to tuition, which is the retirement and college savings lesson, we're going to show you how to shelter that from taxes with the different government programs and so forth. But for purposes of just looking at math for a few minutes,